Yep, it's all happening this morning. Buffalo is taking out Hunters, Excitement Flex playing for, what is it called? Orbit College FC.
You'll see Flex running out there quite soon.
So our producer will be a major soccer star soon. And then the poll from this morning, we asked about the Buffalo and the Hunter and whose side are you on? And we had close to 100 votes here. It looks like the Buffalo well in the lead, 70%. Human only got 15. And screw both of them. The true cynics, the narcissists, the nihilists, they say make up 14% of our audience. It tells you quite a lot about this audience.
What was the third option?
Blood hungry, just nasty people. I mean, you guys are just awful.
I just think we like to see balance. I think we like to see balance, and that's what nature is.
Yeah. No, it's true. I completely concur with the audience. Obviously, we cast our votes at the beginning, so you know how I feel. But there's 14% of the people listening who are truly, truly awful people. They just screw both. Fuck you, man. It's Friday morning, but I'm cross.
Yep.
I haven't been cross for a long time. That's a good realization.
I just get cross when you send me ugly people.
Yeah, but you don't get cross. You get vaguely annoyed and irritated. You know who I thought of the other day? James, maybe you can still find it, is all those old people in that old age home doing those exercises. Do you remember that? We used to end the show with that for 2 weeks.
We haven't had the Stairway to Stardom for quite some time.
Oh, that's also good stuff. Yeah, Stairway to Stardom. That was great. All right, so what updates do you have for us from your life, Ben? We haven't caught up on any of this stuff for some time.
My life,
we talk
Gareth.
About the sport. We talk about general wellness and psychological well-being, but what's been happening?
Constantly just trying to strip things down and make it simple, eh? Travel.
So strippers, really?
No, of course not. No, I mean, I just...
Machoshas.
Not at all. That's the last thing I ever want to get associated with.
You don't
with.
Want... No, of course
no,
not.
I want purity, happiness, and simplicity. Uh-huh. And each week, I'm just trying to find new ways, huh? Gymming hard, sauntering with random oaks... I was in fan court last week.
You're going to find
golf.
A lot of women sauntering with oaks.
Well, no.
No, and none of them in there.
I don't know of unisex saunas, and quite frankly, I don't want
there
them.
Is a, there's, so there's a unisex sauna at one of the gyms in
Bryanston, I
Bryanston,
think.
Bryanston, yeah. And
it's quite area-specific, a lot of swingers.
Is that what it is?
Well,
I would have thought it was just chilled. I haven't been. Someone said to me it's a good idea.
Look, I would prefer not to be in unisex sauna.
Okay.
Because I don't want to listen to the endless conversations.
Oh, right. Yeah. You get roped into stupid conversations.
And then guys are like, but you get to see chicks. It's like, no, you don't. And if you do, trust me, they're not going to be hot.
You don't think so?
Guys, come on.
I mean, you've got a better chance of seeing an attractive woman at a gym than at a McDonald's.
I guess. Yeah? I guess, sure. But I just think it's a weird thing to want. It's like everyone had these strange fantasies like, oh, there'll be all these hot chicks and then...
No, but it's not a porn movie. It's a unisex public... you know, you're in there, there are other people around and it's people in swimming costumes probably and towels.
Towels, yeah.
So it'd be no different to going to a public pool if that's a thing that people do.
Look, I don't think it should be weird. I think we should be very comfortable with the fact that we should have more unisex spaces because we should be able to behave properly.
Yes,
that should
I
be
agree.
The last. Yeah, I totally. Yeah. I just want. I don't want.
In other words, the opposite of the Taliban.
We should be that. We should be much stronger.
We should
and
always
better
try to.
And,
I think if we aim to be the exact opposite of the Taliban in everything we do, we'll have much better lives.
Yeah, I think we should be very comfortable in those situations because we show maturity and just general well-being. But no, Gareth, winter's a tough one in Joburg for like a lot of things. And I'm definitely using the downtime quite well. I think I'm becoming a little bit smarter and happier.
Balance, right?
Putting a lot of work into the show at the moment.
Good.
That's all I can really tell you.
Well, the show's been amazing. So
thank you. Love Life is still a work in progress, just like my hairline.
So just not really looking great at the moment. But we're hoping for better times.
Oh, but also, like, you know, unlike James, he's in a relationship.
What? You
no,
set up Hinge?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta just, you know.
Oh, so you're back on those?
I'm back on.
I don't know if you want to talk about this because
I don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's there in the background. And yeah. I wish I had more exciting things to say, but
then stop.
That's kind of life.
Carl says that the gym at just stop. The gym at Malbiton is also unisex sauna. It's not the chicks you want to see. It's myth. That's bad news for Malbiton.
Well, where is
Malbiton again? In the Cape
South.
It's in Mulbarton. Where is Mulbarton?
I'm pretty sure it's the south. Okay, well, if it's coming from Carl.
Yeah, help us. Is this a poorer thing that we don't understand?
It's a poorer thing. I think it's the south.
How's this? Mapelo says, and you know how Mapelo can be very strident these days.
Very.
Yesterday I saw a woman wearing a gown and flip-flops in a shopping center. I shamed her properly. Nice. I want to commend you for shaming her. I think that is unacceptable. You should not be wearing a gown and flops in public ever. You should even go out to collect stuff from Uber Eats in your gown and flops. I think that's just appalling.
It really is.
It would be better to go out naked, if you ask me.
Yeah, but this is the thing with marijuana, though. It makes you.
You think it's marijuana?
It makes your bar so low in life.
Good point.
You think that kind of stuff's cool. And yes, Malbarton is in the south. We're right.
there are always mafutas in the gym, says Vyasin. Well, Stephen brings up. And I brought this up last week with our guests about the guy shaving his balls. It's people shaving their balls too, Gareth, remember.
They shave their balls in the gym.
I saw a guy, like an old man. Old man, Ben. He put his foot on the basin. And he was going to town shaving.
Shaving his
bollocks. And then rinsing the shaver off under the tap and going back to the bollocks. And he even used shaving cream. The guy had come prepared. He had a fucking bag, a checkers, and he put all his stuff in the checkers afterwards. He had a little washcloth. He had I was appalled.
Shaving your balls is something we need to talk about. Firstly, good on you wanting to be hygienic.
Do we have to talk about this? Okay.
But it's such a difficult thing.
Yes.
So
it's best done at home.
Best done at home under a very steady hand in
and good lighting.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And not taking risks. I mean, if this old chap, this geezer had nicked himself, he could have bled out and died right there on the floor of the bathroom of the gym.
Me queasy.
And the reason I know about this is I was in the sauna and he was right in front of me.
But also, old bollocks are very saggy bollocks, so it's a difficult area because you need to create.
I got to be honest, I didn't see the bollocks. Fortunately, there was an angle to it where I didn't have to look directly at the bollocks of the asshole. But he was taking on the necessary positions, and I've got to say, I didn't know there were old people who were supple as that, but he did what he had to do. My problem is that you do that at home. There's some stuff you do at home. You, as a man, you clip your fucking nose hairs. You make sure you don't have tufts of ear hair.
Yeah, completely.
You don't smell bad.
And also, like,
you brush your teeth, but you do as much of that as possible at home. There is no reason for you to have to do any of that, unless you don't, for some reason, like you've broken every tap in your house and you live like an animal.
But even then, you buy bottled water and you make a plan. But just the idea of shaving bollocks is so niche and so difficult.
And deeply personal. And quiet.
I mean, I trim mine like all other gentlemen.
Do this shit at home. I cannot imagine whipping out the fucking beard trimmer and having a go in the. I cannot imagine doing that anywhere except. And even in my house, I sometimes think there's no one likely to come into the house. No one's going to knock on the door with a surprise. Now's the time, right? And then you get on with it. I would not like a surprise. I would not like someone to walk in.
People we live amongst.
While you go, what are you doing? Doing a little
me thing
maintenance.
Yeah, give me some me time.
This guy completely didn't care about it. Anyway, I thought that might irritate you like it did me. Gareth, if you had to choose the old bully shaving his balls or the young guy with his feet on the table. Yeah, that was another problem I had. Both of those are unacceptable. Again, just behave yourself. These are who raised you? Wolves? Who taught you nothing about general civilized, sophisticated human behavior? There should be some part of you that acknowledges those things matter and are important and are conducive to good interactions between humans. You want to do well in business? You need to be able to have manners and treat people well and show some respect, pitch up on time, wear clothes that are appropriate, not shave your bollocks in the gym, not put your feet on the table in a restaurant, you know? Sounds like Ben is that friend Gareth spoke about a while back who's looking for a relationship, putting two and two together. No, I have a lot of friends who are. No. I have a lot of friends who are. It's definitely not Ben. If you find the right one, you'll be happy with it. But if not, you're perfectly happy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Not the slightest bit worried, actually.
It's a tough job, like trying to shave meatballs. You've put a very thin on a very thin uninflated balloon. Yeah, it is kind of. Yeah, it's a messy business if you don't get it right.
But it's just the need for such a close trim on your balls.
Yes, we're still talking about.
I've thought about it, but I've never actually put a razor to my balls. Why would you need to? It's such a high tariff game to play. It's like tightrope walking with nothing.
Very high risk business. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
For
I mean, also, again, if you're doing this at home on your own, which is what we're advocating, you should do. Should you wish to have a close shave, okay. Something goes wrong. I mean, you got to.
It's a sensitive area to bleed.
What are you going to how are you going to sort that out?
Yeah, you know, like no woman.
How are you going to get to the hospital? And what clothing, what attire are you going to put on that doesn't involve something around the area of particular concern?
But like, no woman's ever said to me, you know, if you just had less, if you were really fucking shaved down there. This would be the greatest. Like, that would enhance.
Bald.
No one's ever said to me, yeah, he's a great guy and he's got a shaved ball sack. No one's ever said that. I've never heard that conversation.
Well, no one in the world is. No one. I've never met anyone who's interested in anything to do with the balls. In fact, it's a very, very low interest area. I would say when it comes to. I mean, it performs obviously a very vital function biologically, but no one is interested in the balls. No one ever goes.
It's not primary, huh?
I am. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. It's not even. It's not even number 500 on the list. Honestly, if you think about all the things that make someone interesting, attractive, unattractive, or whatever, and you're thinking about men here, girls, I need some advice if I've got this wrong, but I don't imagine balls come into the top 100 of things.
It's a weird thing for women to have to actually just grasp in more ways than one.
I've never heard a woman say, even if I...
Love his balls.
Never. Even if they didn't know I was listening and I walked past and I happened to catch... I've never heard that. I've heard a lot of crazy things come from women and they've said unbelievable, surprising things to me. That has never been said. Never.
I've spoken to a lot of surprising women in my time. I've never heard that either.
Ben, Dr. Evil said it best. You should try a freshly shorn scrotum. It's quite refreshing. Chase says maybe that's why he was shaving at the gym. In case he slips, someone would call the ambulance. Still, hard to make it an acceptable thing when you're making it someone else's problem. Ben's face processing the thought of how it would happen. Shaving its balls is scary. The only time that there is interest in balls is when a doctor asks you to cough. Yeah. I mean, I think... You only really consider it when something goes horribly wrong or you feel something that shouldn't be there, which I encourage all men to check. Testicular cancer is a real thing. You need to be aware of this. And also when it comes to fertility, like let's say you want to have a kid, you are in a relationship with someone you want to have a kid with, and as a guy, you suddenly become aware of your balls. You're like, oh, these things, they have to perform a biological and sexual and physiological function. They got to procreate the species. Now they have a purpose. Up till then, they were just this weird, you know, if you horrible
have,
thing.
You have me thinking about balls right now. Your day is not going to be the same. If you listen to this, you're going, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I don't.
So I don't believe
anyone left home this morning thinking, yeah, today's the day I'm going to consider the lilies. No, consider the balls.
But like, people are going to be in boardrooms today and there'll be a guy standing up and he'll be giving a very important speech about fucking bottom lines or whatever. And in your mind, you're going, I wonder how hangy his balls are. I wonder how hairy his balls are. I wonder what he thinks about his balls.
While we're on this, because it isn't a subject that comes up often, is it true that old men have very hangy balls?
Of course.
They get they get like
your
loose
balls
and
are
long.
Hangier than when in your 20s. Use yourself as a reference. I mean, I'm not saying you need to put like a ruler
but,
from
but
your belly button
do they
down.
Get like dangly?
Of course.
We need experts on this. Can we not get a doctor in here at some point?
Don't, Gareth, it's
yeah.
It's
a ball doctor.
It's a simple answer. Just use yourself as a reference. My balls are more hangy than they used to be. I'm not saying that they're hitting my knee, but I mean, there's a bit more bungee in the cord, so to speak.
Ben looks a little like Ben Affleck today. Must be all the old man ball talk, says Lauren.
Why is this so fascinating?
Okay, so then we've got never had a met a man that has any. Oh, wow. B says she's never met a man who has any balls.
There's a bit of hurt there, huh?
Let's just take a moment to acknowledge B's hurt. Okay, that's
sun always rises tomorrow, B.
Yeah. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Okay, there we go. That's a little pep up for B this morning. One of South Africa's largest companies is being reported to the Human Rights Commission over a school program. You remember this made quite a lot of noise when Bidvest was reported by Solidarity to the Human Rights Commission and the UN, alleging that their employee bursary program is racially discriminatory for excluding white applicants. So you could ask to be considered for this bursary from Bidvest, but if you were white, you were out straight away.
Yeah.
The bursary was funded through a triple BEE, which is what broad-based black economic empowerment. I always have to think about that one. Aims to uplift historically disadvantaged individuals. Solidarity argues that the policy violates constitutional and international rights, calling for a more inclusive class-based approach. So it is possible that you can be white and disadvantaged.
Sure.
There are plenty of poor white people.
Have been plenty. For ages. Yeah.
And maybe for various reasons, I don't know. You could have been born in the wrong place to the wrong parents and
wrong uncle,
fetal alcohol syndrome, and God knows what else. You could have been interfered with by your uncle. I mean, there are lots of reasons. You could also just have not been able to go to school because your mom is morbidly obese and you've had to look after her, like in Gilbert Grape.
Yes.
I mean, there's stories about disadvantage everywhere, and why should we? In a post-apartheid South Africa, why is it even controversial that companies should not discriminate on the basis of race or on the basis of gender?
Yep.
Why is this not difficult? Why is it so difficult, for people to understand this? Surely someone at Bidvest has to get their head out of their ass and realize that there is no reason to make it a racial thing. You're either disadvantaged or you're not. And if you're going to help people, help the most talented person who's in the most disadvantage.
I don't mean to be playing devil's advocate in this, but are these big corporates not forced to do things like this for the triple BEE ratings?
Well, then that is outrageous. And if those are the rules, they need to be changed. So if the company's not to blame, then we've got to find out what it is that incentivizes the company to behave like this. Because this is
nothing.
That to
me seems like a better argument.
You know, this is nothing short of discrimination. That's what it is. Discrimination, racism cloaked in white rather than in black. That's what it is. And if you reverse the colors and it sounds wrong, that's because it is wrong.
It's cuck for the kids. That's what I always think. It's like,
you know, imagine you're a talented kid who has just not been fortunate. Your parents are losers. You grew up under huge strain. You never had a good education or resources, but you are supremely dedicated, disciplined, hardworking. You read everything you could find from, you know, the back of the fucking Rice Krispies box to novels by Victor Hugo, and you get to a point where you're on the brink of something tremendous. You can't afford to go to university or school or whatever, and then there's this bursary, and you apply because you think this is a lifeline, and then they throw you out just because you're white or just because you're a male or just because you're black or whatever. It just seems so unkind. It seems, you know, people always talk about fairness. So how about fairness without creating new kinds of discrimination. Makes sense to me. I know that it's very en vogue these days for people to say whatever they want about white people and males in particular. It's very, it's like
easy targets.
No one's going to get upset. You can say whatever you like about them. We could put them at the back of every queue. But in the long run, it is never a good idea to discriminate for any reason against any group. It just has a horrible way of coming back to bite you. If we've learned nothing from this country's history, if not the history of the world in the last 100 years, then we are doomed to repeat those mistakes. So just stop it. If you're a company that does this kind of thing, stop it. It's unnecessary. If you're looking for people to fulfill a role in your company, choose the best people. Not only because that will result in the best kind of competitiveness within the company, but also the people who you hire will know they've been hired because they're good. None of them will feel, oh my God, I was only hired because I'm white, because I'm black, because I'm female, or because I fill some quota. The best people. We have the best people. Amazing. Look at these people. They're tremendous. Nobody has to feel like they're not deserving of the role. In fact, you're more than deserving. You were the chosen person out of all the people we could have chosen. Seems obvious to me. Maybe I'm just full of shit. Carl says the third party who did that policy of Bidvest is owned by Cyril. Okay. Not kidding. So he makes racist laws and then benefits by having consulting companies help enforce them. Yeah.
Wow.
It's also just enough.
That's so Cyril here. It's just a Cyril thing to do.
Yeah, what a disappointing human being. Shannon says we can hear someone on the phone. I assume James is buggering around in the studio there. Yeah, well, everyone could hear it in the show, so you obviously had it on.
Must I get out of here?
No. Do you want to go? Did the ball conversation make you uncomfortable?
No, I mean, I know there's only one chair here, so I mean, I'm just
No,
thinking.
It's someone on the line, Ben. It's an online person. You're welcome to stay.
Yeah.
Bitcoin Butt says, imagine the ladies' room at the gym. Some fat old lady trying to trim around her beef curtains.
Wow.
Listen.
That's a different conversation, which we are now having. Yeah, having a go at the beef is, I think, an easier...
Sure.
But no less controversial undertaking.
Yeah. listen, I the positions you had to get into.
But do you think women have the same conversation? We have bald conversations easy.
Do you think women have like? I know they do about shaving their legs. I know they do about. Yeah, I think they do. Waxing.
In a parallel universe, is there a podcast right now with two women going, and then she was clipping her beeve, and this woman, the dexterity that she had was...
That's probably a very interesting place to take it. The Real Network should consider branding their gear, laptops, mic stand, etc., so the brand appears. You know, Mapelo, you're angling very hard for a job, hey? Yeah, it's not a bad idea, but also, you know what I'm tired of is like just... too much branding. I think when there's a shouting brand.
Yeah, I mean, like there's nothing on the set really behind me on the wide.
Yeah, but we've got the little watermark in the corner. Yeah, we've got the watermark in the corner. I just feel like there's some elegance and subtlety.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm willing to be corrected. Maybe Mapela has a point.
Maybe I should straighten this one. There we go.
Oh, thank you, Ben. That's very good. Yeah. Much better. Appreciate that. All right. Then someone said that it is true that the balls grow longer because gravity happens and aging skin happens.
Well, you all lose your elasticity, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, people say like earlobes.
It's like my fucking wrinkles around my face. I mean, I laugh all day. I have very defined laugh lines.
Yes.
So that skin starts to sag and I look older around the face. Same thing around the balls.
But I'd rather have laugh lines than look young.
Yeah.
I mean, I love to laugh. So
me too.
If my face is an advertisement, if my face makes you laugh.
My face is an example of how nothing in my life is actually serious.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
But also, it's like I can't judge my balls for certain activity. It's just that age has provided that. But I still think I haven't had a good look at my balls in a while, but I haven't gone like, wow, those really are...
No one has.
Father
no
time one,
no one takes them as a as a separate unit and evaluates them. No one does. This may be the first conversation of its kind in the universe. Who knows? Just don't imagine it happening any time before this. I've never thought about it that much.
Me either.
Gray says, and I think this is right, a disadvantage isn't just money-based. Some people also have no family and need mental health care. That's true. I'm sure the pinball players have balls on the brain, walking with their hands in their pockets all day. Pinball players? Anna-Marie, you need to explain yourself.
Well, you get guys, you've got the hands in their pockets because they're constantly scratching their balls or playing with
their balls.
Oh,
that's revolting. Okay, yeah.
I'm just guessing here. Again, it's not my sort of neck of the woods.
You know, it's such a strange thing to consider what takes up, what people are actually thinking. Someone said to me once, if they could have any superpower, they'd read people's minds. And I thought, no, that would be the worst superpower.
You would hate humans. You wouldn't leave the house. You would have no friends.
And you would get into the bizarre heads of every person you walked past, and you'd be alarmed. I mean, you'd be alarmed what people are thinking.
Yeah. I mean, there's that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want, or whatever it was.
Where he could actually
get struck by lightning or some crap. And then he can hear the thoughts of women and how they lie.
Yes. Well, so there's an interesting theory going around by sociologists and people who study these things about the competition between women and how it can never be out in the open. So over millions of years of evolution, men have developed very public forms of competition, you know, sport,
yeah,
business,
where we compete, healthy.
and then we see a result, and there's like, this guy won and that guy lost. But the costs of female competition, especially in mating and in social hierarchies and the rest, the cost of that is much higher for women than it is for men. So they try to avoid open competition. You do find women who compete openly, like in women's sport, for example. Sometimes there's a corporate kind of competition going on, but it tends to be a lot more subtle. And I think that the conclusion that people are coming to is that women have developed a very complicated way of asserting themselves and being competitive, which they are. And it's not as direct and obvious as male competition.
Well, I think the difference is that guys get over things, and competition is a way of growing and also bonding. There's camaraderie in competition. With women, it's very personal and very almost final.
Guys, this is another part of the study, to your point, and it agrees with you, I think, here, is that guys learn to lose as well.
Because it's part of where we need to be.
Yeah, and often women, certainly because the competition isn't so public, they don't really know whether they've won or lost, and neither do the other people involved. So the result is often disguised, tends to be collaborative rather than competitive, which is another interesting difference. Mm. And again, for various reasons, the males and the females of the species have developed different tactics that contribute to an overall good, right? I mean,
sure, there's collaboration, amazing feminine qualities.
Collaboration has tremendous value in families and societies, but so does competition. Women just compete very differently to men. And I wonder if, as someone who has paid attention to women's sport more than I have, because you've reported on it and you know a little bit more than I do, whether you see that in the sport itself. No? You're already shaking your head. You don't watch any women's
sport.
I'm not
shaking my head.
No, because this also came up on Monday with James and Leanne, because we were talking about women's sport in the WNBA, which is now in the news, and saying, well, people don't watch it. They don't. It's just not as exciting. And that's not because those athletes aren't incredible. They are, and we believe that there should be a women's and a men's division in certain sports. In fact, in most sports. But we need to understand that the element of competition is different. Am I going too deep on this?
No. Look, it's a never-ending conversation, this, and I think as a guy, you're only going to come out looking bad, but, you know, here we are. Women's sport's great. You need women playing sport. I think it's such a healthy thing to do. It's so good for kids. It's so good for anybody. But unfortunately, there's only so much that takes it to a higher level, and women don't watch women's sport. So no. how can you at any stage expect there to be a competitive commercial platform where they're going to be the same as guys? Guys also watch guys' sports. They've only got so much time in the day. They're not suddenly going to like now jettison their actual loves to now watch other things. So there's nothing wrong with women's sport. It's great. The more we can do it, the better. But there's only so much that can make it professional and top line. That's the only answer I could ever give. It's not personal. It's not being vindictive. I'm not throwing a dildo at anybody. But that's just the reality.
Thank God, Ben. I needed you to clear your
If women want to have more name. Money in sport, then more women must watch sport. Let's start there. Let's start that conversation. And when people get really angry about that, then realize that you can't have a conversation with certain people. It's quite simple. Because guys can love women's sport, but it's like being in a relationship, like James. You can't be everything to everyone, right? You've got your primary, your focus.
Yeah.
He can't now have three or four other girlfriends.
I know.
It's the same with me in sport. I've already got teams that I watch. I'm sorry, but I can't now throw the WNBA in there.
Right.
What time do I find for this?
Which brings me to this show and the fact that we're changing it to one live show a week. There are going to be some interview shows thrown in as well. So whenever there's someone really amazing that I feel like we need to have a longer conversation with, we will still do those. And
it'll be like set up like this in a one chair like I am in.
Yeah, right now. But the live show will be a whole mix of stuff. And that's to the point that Ben made now about how much time you have in your day, how you spend it. I feel like we just are giving people maybe too much, and you don't have time to listen to all of that. So it's more in recognition of the fact that you have a limited amount of time available, and that I want you to have the best possible product. There we go. We'll close on that. All right. So I want to talk about this thing. Have you got these guys on for me, James? Okay, brilliant. So on Monday's show, Leanne was, so much for her being a journalist, by the way. She really needs to check her sources. We were talking about the Trump tariffs, and we were talking about how South Africa is likely to have this 30% tariff put into play, and it's going to cost a lot of jobs. It's going to be a very, very difficult thing for South Africa to navigate and for companies in South Africa to navigate. And the politicians may have dropped the ball on this. They're apparently talking, this is news this morning, that President Trump and President Ramaphosa had a conversation yesterday, and that they're busy discussing how the trade arrangements are going to work going forward. But on Monday, Leanne said that Gendermark, which is an amazing company in the Eastern Cape, were either, I can't remember if she said shutting down or they were changing their whole model of business. Anyway, she got it wrong. So I thought it would be a good idea to get these guys on this morning so they could tell us, first of all, what they do. Second of all, whether these tariffs are going to affect them. And third of all, what's happening in terms of business. So I'm thrilled to have Siegfried Lokotsch on. He's from Gendermark Automation. He's the chairman of the board for Gendermark India. So it's an international company. Also qualified chartered accountant and a global business leader. He's been instrumental in expanding their footprint to over 35 countries. Phenomenal. Known for his make it happen attitude, he has helped shift the company's focus to export-driven growth and leads its social impact initiatives in education and sport across South Africa and India. Well done on all of that, Siegfried. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for making time for us.
Hello, Gareth. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So let's get this right, because I think Leanne completely screwed this up. You've not closed down any operations. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, look, I don't think it's Leanne's fault. I think the reporting that was done by some other news outlets was incorrect. And I think maybe she picked the story up from there, and it's not entirely her fault. But it's fine. We can rectify the situation.
You know what? I'm going to blame her anyway.
Don't go too hard on her, Gareth.
So let's just talk about what Gendermark does. I mean, first of all, just reading this introduction and all the stuff that you've done, 35 countries. What is your business? What does Gendermark do? Tell me about the company.
Yeah, so we build automated assembly lines and software. If a new automotive company, big OEM like Ford, BMW, Mercedes needs to build a new model. Like, let's say BMW is bringing in a 2 Series, they would approach us to look at manufacturing or designing and building an assembly line that would manufacture an axle, a differential, an engine. So if you drive a BMW, it needs an engine, it needs an axle, it needs a differential. We're the guys that would actually build the assembly line for them that would assemble that component or that part of the vehicle. We export our lines all over the world. 85% of our business is export. We export into Germany, we export into the USA, we export to China, we export to pretty much everywhere. Only 15% of our business is is local. Yeah.
That sounds phenomenal.
And, just to put in perspective, so we have about 1,000 employees, of which 500 in South Africa, have about 400 in India, and then the rest are spread between Germany and the US. So we've got 4 offices. Our main production facilities are in South Africa and India, so we produce in lower cost countries, but we homebred South African company, been around for 35 years. Our DNA is 100% South Africa. Everything that we do is based on the pride of what we do. And we actually export technology. I mean, to put it in perspective, Gareth, I don't know if you've ever heard of any companies that actually export technology into the German, big German companies in Germany. They buy directly from us in the armpit of Africa, as you used to call it. I remember once you referred to PE as the armpit. So they buy from us in Quebec.
I know, I've always been rude about PE, Siegfried, so that's another conversation. But
that's fine. But I mean, can you imagine
them
buying from us?
Let's just focus on. So I love this. I mean, it sounds to me like it's incredible. You, it's a very high standard of manufacturing. Mm. You guys clearly are able to be at the forefront of kind of leading this industry in South Africa. I obviously want this, as do every other, I'm sure everybody who's listening to us this morning and watching, they all want South African companies to do well. What is the reality, though, of these tariffs? If they come into play, what sort of effect is that going to have on a business like yours and perhaps other businesses who are thinking about the same thing?
No, it's devastating. It's far worse than what the one people can comprehend. I don't think the effect on the ground is you know, it's difficult to explain it to people. So for us, obviously I've got my employees in South Africa, of which there's 500 of us, but we're in a little bit of a different situation. About 2-3 years ago, when there was rumblings of us being kicked out of AGOA because of our political alignment with different countries, we decided that we needed to have a backup plan just in case we lost. So under AGOA, you were able to export into the US tariff-free. And obviously, if we lost that would affect us. So we started looking at other markets, and we've managed to diversify. We've got some good business in Saudi Arabia, find some other markets in countries like Poland and Slovakia and places like that.
Sure.
But the bigger impact for me is on my supply chain. So it's taken us 25 years because of the highly technical nature of our business. We have lots of businesses that we support from a mom and pop shop, you know, 2 people doing a machining to a shop, you know, a company that's got 25 employees, and they do specific things for us. And we make up a big part of their business. Now, as soon as the tariff comes in, you know, we might not be able to give them work for a couple of months or 6 months or 12 months, and I might be able to pivot. They don't have the ability to pivot. So what happens is they go out of business. And that knock-on effect, which I worked out in our supply chain, like a domino, is probably approximately 3,000 people that could be affected by it.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I mean, the reality of this is that the politicians, whether it's Donald Trump and Cyril getting their heads, knocking their heads together in a room, or their teams, whoever these trade delegations are, you know, these are people's lives and businesses that have been built over decades that are suddenly under huge threat because these guys are trying to play a commercial and trade game with each other. And I understand there must be enormous frustration all over South Africa. I know that exporters are very concerned in the agricultural industry too, and you guys have something to do with that too. You're also involved in these automotive components that you've told us about and the assembly line stuff. But I mean, I'm sure that there are people you know. The Eastern Cape has got some amazing agriculture. There are people
I've
in the Western
lots of farmer,
Cape who, those guys are now under tremendous threat.
Yeah, I mean, we've got massive citrus industry. I mean, I know lots of farmers here that are they potentially are going to lose their farms. I mean, what I don't understand is we've known about this for 7 months. We knew it was coming, but we did nothing about it. Gareth, you know, the so-called Liberation Day when Donald Trump was standing on the White House with his big board and our name was on there, that happened 2nd of April. You know what should have happened the 3rd of April? These guys should have got on a plane and flew to the White House and camped out there.
Yep.
Started lobbying, started talking. And all we need to do is talk to them. Look, I get Donald Trump's trying to bully us. I get all of that. Okay, and I'm not saying that we have to agree to everything.
Sure.
But we lastminute.com. You know, they have a meeting with me on the 1st. I had a meeting with some government delegation last week, Friday. That's when the tariffs came in. So what must we do now? And so when I asked them, you know,
they worked out that they needed to meet with you, but on the day that the tariffs came in.
Friday. Then they give me the old, oh, no, don't worry, we've created a help desk. So I'm like, guys, what does a help desk help me? No, that's for you guys to go into other markets. I said to him, do you know how long it takes for us? It took us 18 months to get an order out of Saudi Arabia. Your help desk is really not going to. Yeah, that's what they say to me. Then I asked him, and I said to him, okay, so how long? No, we're negotiating. We're doing all the best we can do. We've engaged. Then they say to me, no, well, we're under NDA, and it's going to take some time. So I'm like, well, how much time? So they said, well, I don't really know, because the way they're doing this, Gareth, and this is from them, they told me this, is whoever came first to the White House in the queue to sign the NDA, they first in the negotiation. Now, you must understand, there's 90 countries scrambling.
Jesus.
We like 50th or 60th in the queue because we did nothing.
Yeah, and to make it worse, we have these very, very high tariffs, whereas some of them have been given half of that, some of them a whole lot less than that too. Mm. And all because our government just refused to deal with this situation. They just kept kicking the can down the road. I'm so pleased you're being straightforward with us this morning too about this, because most businesses are terrified of saying what's actually going on. And then when the shit hits the fan, they kind of have nowhere to complain to because they were part of the problem trying to cover up for government. Well done on that front. I just want to ask you, because I've always been rude and mean about the Eastern Cape, although I've got friends there and it's a terrific place. I mean, there's so much potential there, right? We've been hearing a lot about the automotive industry as a whole. We know East London has always had a major export role in automotive parts and full vehicles. There have been factories there. How is the Eastern Cape doing generally? Because I also hear from people like George Meany at Auto Trader, who I have a lot to do with, that it's not looking good and we're going to lose more jobs there. And this is very, very concerning, especially for towns like PE and East London.
Yeah, we're very reliant on the automotive industry, especially East London. So I'm hearing via the via, and again, this is just hearsay. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Mercedes-Benz plant is closed for a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know, Gareth, that most of their production goes to the US because they produce the C-Class? Okay. So what I'm hearing, and I heard this again, it's not a factual thing. It's just what I've heard via through my contacts. I mean, I'm hearing that potentially Mercedes-Benz might close down in East London. That our government's now negotiating with a Chinese company to come in there and take over. And these guys are not going to, they're not going to invest in a supply chain. So the problem that you've got is it's your tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four suppliers that supports that network. That's where you have the job losses. Now, if they leave East London, I promise you, I think it'll be a ghost town. I mean, as it is already, the Eastern Cape is the poorest province in the country.
Right.
The only real good thing we had going for us was the automotive industry. And the other thing, Gareth, you know, it's one of the few industries that we actually export something that we make, that we add value. Like if you take Gendermark, we actually, you know, I mean, the stuff that we build is built with IP. It's South African technology. I mean, some of my machines are the best in the world. I've got machines that have been running for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some of the fastest catalytic converter assembly lines in the world. I beat the Germans, I beat the Americans, and now I'm being slapped with a tariff, which I did nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing of my doing. And I'm not allowed to be at the table negotiating. I've got to have people that are supposed to represent us negotiating. And the reason why I'm really vocal about this is I can carry on with my life, Gareth. I can go to India, I can go to Germany, I can do that.
Sure.
But the small guy can't. He's not coming on your show, and he doesn't have a voice. I'm actually doing it for the other 3,000 people out there, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of
politics. Listen,
man. I'm tired of all this shit that's going on in this country.
I am fully behind you. I think it's tremendous that you are holding and flying that flag for us and keeping things together and trying to save as many jobs as possible. I wish you guys the best of luck. It seems like there is so much rallied against us in terms of these tariffs and the government incompetence and, you know, all the shit that we deal with, as you rightly put it, on a daily basis. But I wish you the best of luck. And I hope that there are other companies like you who are not only making plans to survive and to thrive, but I hope you have some luck come your way for a change, because you know, boer maak 'n plan, eventually, like, the boer gets sick of making the plan, like you've said.
Absolutely.
All right, well, best of luck, man.
No, I appreciate
and thank
that.
You, Siegfried.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Gareth. Yeah, thanks for having
really
me.
Really good
and,
to talk to you.
We'll keep fighting. We'll keep
fighting.
Yeah,
please
and,
do.
And we South Africans. Yeah, we'll keep fighting.
Damn right.
All right, thanks,
thank
guys.
You, man.
Have a good one. Chat to you later.
Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Man.
Have
Bye.
A good weekend. Well, there we go,
Gendermark,
and now we know a little bit more about them. And I tell you, this is important not only because of the particulars of their challenge that they've got, but so many businesses around South Africa that are trying to cope with this.
It just always makes me sad, like, how incredible the people are of this country, and we represent it by the absolute worst. What that I just described, he makes the assembly line that these huge companies rely on.
Yes.
How fucking smart you've got to be. How
yes.
diligent you've got to be. How much hard work you've got to that point.
And how much risk and investment you have to make yourself. You have to take the risk. You have to set up those assembly lines, build the factories, hire the people, take a chance, and then...
And now he's got to share a table with someone who probably bought his matric, cannot understand anything globally, and has never made an honest cent in their life. Yeah. And he's got to now be diplomatic and say, look, guys, what are we doing? And they have no idea what they're doing.
They're like, oh, shit, it's the 1st of August. We better do something. Yeah, it's not ideal. But as usual, I think it'll be an amazing thing to see South Africans rise to the occasion, and we will. But I just wish our government would do one or two things to just direct the ship maybe away from the rocks. That would be nice. Just away from the rocks, guys. Like, even if you haven't got a... course charted. You don't necessarily know whether we're going to Portugal or to Miami. It would be nice though if we just weren't heading straight for the rocks and someone grabbed the tiller and took us in the right direction. That would be nice. Right? Not too much to ask.
No.
All right. But thank you very much to Siegfried, and thank you to Ben, and thank you to you for being with us this morning. There's plenty of good stuff still to come. And if you haven't watched the latest episode of the On the Bounce show, Ben has been talking football. He's also had some amazing guests in the last while that you need to catch up on, people that you do want to hear from.
Yeah, next week, John Smith's on the show as well.
Amazing.
We're having a bit of nostalgia around the 2007 Rugby World Cup, and John's just, he's great.
He really is.
He really is amazing.
Superb. I loved Vane onto Olified.
That interview was, it's tough for me. I don't think it's professional for me to say by having favorites. I mean, you'll have memories of great interviews. The interview with Vane onto is amazing. What a great guy.
So much fun.
Just a great guy.
Yeah, I used to drink with him in Pretoria. So I saw the real character come through. It was awesome.
Yeah, super guy.
And James promises he'll bring the puppy in next week, at least one of the days. Oh, no, hang on. No, James is away next week, aren't you?
Romantic getaway.
Romantic getaway, James.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
With
He's
your
going
girlfriend.
To his parents. He's going to J-Bay.
Has she met the parents yet, James? This is the meet the parents trip. Love how we are covering.
We should
so
have
much
started the show with that. If only we'd known. All right, so big week for
James.
Our producers. Well, for both of our producers, because Flex is doing his he's going to make his debut for, what are they called?
Ozempic. College FC.
Flex is getting his first PSL cap. So, Flex, that's great news. And well done, James. And I hope that the Meet the Parents weekend goes really well. And then we'll be back on Monday at 6 a.m. Make sure you have an awesome weekend and keep warm. Ciao.